One of the privileges I have is on Easter morning, I got to be kind of here the whole morning when we started out at the park at 6:30 and then all the way to the end of second service. And it was in that morning, it was only just a couple of weeks ago, that I had this realization that I started getting a glimpse of something that I hadn't quite put my finger on, but I started putting it together, and here's kind of how it transpired. First, there was a family who grew up in the parish here, and they were sitting right in there, and they were back in town, so they had moved away. They were back in town visiting with us and worshiping with us Easter morning. Mom and dad, husband and wife, were married by Pastor Place. Some of you remember him. The boys grew up and attended Bethel School. They were excited to be here. They were asking about some of the longtime members, if they were still around, and even some of our longtime teachers. And they were just so happy to be here. And after service, I asked them on the way out, I said, you know, how does it feel to be back at Bethel? And they said with big smiles on their faces, they said, it felt like we had never left after so many years. It just felt like home to them. Then after service, another woman came to tell me, she was a mother of some small children, and she came to tell me that being here at Easter and taking communion was an amazing experience because she has celiac disease, and to have the offer of having gluten-free wafers made her feel welcomed. She felt accepted where other churches where she had communed, she couldn't because she couldn't actually take the wafer. Now, other families, if you had children, we had a table in the back full with kind of special goodies for the kids, little special Easter bags, activity bags, and one child was so happy to have that activity bag, and she thought it was so nice that she wondered if she had to put it back at the end of service because it was too nice to take home, and they were meant to be taken home because Amanda and Children's Ministry had put those together to make even our children feel welcome, whether they were members or guests with us. I even had a moment, just about 10 minutes, to walk through Torvind Hall during breakfast on Easter, and people were talking and laughing and eating and just being together. There was all sorts of good things happening just in Torvind Hall alone. Now, with all those kind of different stories and different experiences and things happening on Easter morning, it may all seem evident to you. But I'm a little slow on the uptake, but it finally clicked with me. I finally kind of put my finger on it, that there is something behind all that we do here at Bethel. And it just took Easter morning for me to figure it out. It's joy. All we do, 90% of what we do, maybe 99% of what we do, is bathed in joy. It is our motivation, and it is a gift from God. And I know it is a gift from God to have joy in what we do in the ministry here, because not all churches have joy. Some churches suffer from various ailments, including decline, where joy is fleeting. So we know that the happiness that we have here is tied to a gift from God. And I found this quote by a philosopher, Jesuit priest, who was also a paleontologist and geologist. I mean, pretty smart guy, he's French. His name is Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. And this is what he says about joy. Joy is the infallible sign of the presence of God. And I think that is so true, because joy is the evidence that God is showing up in our church and in our lives, and God has decided to hang out with us and spend time with us. And we should recognize that gift and not take it for granted. When I thought about joy, my mind went to, believe it or not, thinking about condiments. I'm a condiment guy. Maybe some of you know that. I mean, just this past week, if I see something good at the grocery store, I pick it up. This is one that I just picked up. It's called roasted raspberry chipotle sauce. I think this will be good on chicken. So I've had a different brand of this, but I haven't had this brand. So as you see, I haven't even cracked the wrapper yet. But I like different sauces. And I mean, even so, you name it, I have it in the house. I have a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Rachel gets tired of all the stuff in the door of the fridge, of all the different sauces. I mean, and I even came across this, that even dogs can have condiments. That's ketchup, mustard, barbecue, and mayonnaise. And I did see that they have a feline companion to that, which catsup, and I believe it was meowstered, and I don't know what the other one was, but there was also meownaise too. So, and I don't know, I'm going to have to find out if we should get some for Trinity the Husky. But when I was thinking about sauces, everyone has a secret sauce. Everyone tries to distinguish themselves. Matter of fact, you know this if you've ever been to these places. If you go that way and you go to Eric's Deli, you know what they have? They have their secret goo, right? If you go that way to the sandwich spot, they have their special bomb sauce. Everybody has a secret sauce. And I was thinking to myself that Bethel has a secret sauce. It's joy. We have joy. It distinguishes us and it makes me who we are. And the stories I told and countless others of your own stories tell us that we have something very special. Joy is not circumstantial. I've said that before. Happiness is event driven. Joy is something that is internal. Happiness can be elusive because it always depends on something happening external to us. But joy comes from within because it is a gift from God. Joy doesn't need an event. The only thing that joy needs is you and love. That's it. Someone once said that joy is an attribute of love or an attribute of love. Joy cannot be experienced where there is no love. And as you give more love, you have more joy. And it's a true statement. Here's why I know that's true, is that if you go to Galatians chapter 5 and you look at the gift of the Holy Spirit, of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the first fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. You know what the second one is? Joy. The third one is peace. And I can tell you that if you don't have love or joy, you certainly will not have peace. And so if you take away those things, you don't have a whole lot. I mean, even in patience, what causes you to bite your tongue? But probably the fact that you love people and you know better than to say things you shouldn't say. So not only do we have the love of God, but as a Bethel community, we also share that love between one another. And I know that we might not ever say it to one another in the pews here because it's too awkward to turn to your neighbor and say, "Hey, I love you, man." Don't worry, I'm not going to make you do that. Yeah, nervous laughter, I hear it. But we do care for the people next to us, and we do love them. And if we don't, what we miss out on is joy. I mean, long before Jesus, there was this time in Israel's history. It was called the Babylonian Exile. And it was in 586, and the Babylonians came in and they shipped away all the leadership and all the religious authorities from Israel and took them to Babylon and then eventually Persia. And 70 years later, the folks who were still alive and their children got to return. And they came back to Israel and they found that Jerusalem was in ruins. And so because the folks left behind, the regular folks didn't have anybody really to mobilize them. They said, "Here's what we're going to do. We're going to rebuild our temple, and we're going to rebuild the walls of our capital city, Jerusalem." And that's exactly what they did. So they did all these things. And you know how they celebrated at the end of rebuilding their church, their temple, and the walls of Jerusalem? They celebrated this way, by reading the first five books of the Bible, which is the Torah, which was the only Bible they had at that time. And can you imagine that? That you accomplish this great big thing and you celebrate it by reading the entire Bible. It was a total party, right? It's a total party. But here's the thing. Because the religious authority and the leadership had left Israel for 70 years, these folks probably hadn't heard the word of God in over two generations. Most of them couldn't read, and probably the scrolls of the Torah went with the religious authorities. And so they came back and said, here's what you've all been missing of what God has said to us. And upon reading of the entire law, the people broke down into tears. Not tears of boredom, but tears because they had missed something. That they weren't living up to God's expectations, not because they weren't trying, but because they just didn't know. And they were sad that they had missed out on all of this. And the leader of that group, Nehemiah, who organized this great big building program, he said to them this, and I think this is where I want to go with this, he said, do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. He was reassuring them that God wasn't there to get them so much as to restore them to the people that they used to be. And this truth is true then, and it is true today, is that the joy of the Lord is the strength of this church. And I'm convinced if we lose our joy, we will lose love. And once we lose those two things, guess what we lose? We lose the Spirit of God. And I'm not worried about that, but that's what happens as joy diminishes. And so it started to make me think a little bit about our core values. They're not an obligation, they're not a law, it's not something we have to do, but it occurs to me that those things happen because of the joy that we have. And they're also almost like a marker for us to maximize the joy of being a Christian here in this church, and that somehow that our joy is channeled or is expressed in five specific ways that you said are important to us. And so I thought about this, is that really joy is like a fountain, and that there's this never-ending amount of joy, like water in a fountain, and then that somehow it gets expressed in five different sprays or channeled in five different ways of hospitality and Christ-centered community and spiritual growth and responding to needs and generosity. But all along, what it is it's this joy that is bubbling up and out and being shared. And so what we need to be about is tapping into that reservoir of joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, when I think about these, and I'm going to talk a little bit about hospitality, is the thing that I learned when I used to work retail. I was in retail sales for 7 years. And the first thing that I was taught was customer service. Is that when somebody comes to the store, you should greet them in a warm sort of fashion. Be nice to them. Can you imagine that? That if you wanted to sell a product, that it's probably good to be nice to the people who might spend money, and that people are more apt to stay in the store and buy something if you're actually nice to them. Oh. Now, we're not selling a thing here, but the principle applies. People are more apt to come and visit us and stay if we're nice to them, if we're not a clique, if we're not a small group, if we don't ignore folks who are here visiting. I mean, it doesn't mean a whole lot if we're just nice to each other. Matter of fact, Jesus says, even the unbelievers do that. I mean, he uses the word pagan. He said, even the pagans do that. It's important to be good to each other, but it's way more than that as well. You know, when people visit a church, maybe you know this, maybe you don't, people, when they visit a church, will make a decision if they're coming back in the first 10 minutes. Can you imagine that? They don't even get to talk to me at that point. Matter of fact, that means that's on all of us in the first 10 minutes from the parking lot into the seat. The first 10 minutes, they'll decide if this is a church they want to come back to. And it all depends on how we treat them. But here's the thing. People Not just church people. All people are wired to find a place of belonging and meaning. And there's very few places anymore where people find belonging and meaning. Some, it's family, and that's a wonderful thing. Some, for some people, it's work, but that's even kind of a fading thing now. And people are less likely to join and be a part of a club or an organization at any time in our history. So that leaves families, work for a few people, and the church. And so most people, because we are wired this way, want to find a place where we fit in and belong. And I can't help but think about this song from the 80s. So let's see if this works.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure could help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You wanna be where you can see troubles are all the same. You wanna be where everybody knows.
Name the TV show. Ah, good. Good, good, good. But the song fits, right? David, can we do that as a choir number sometime? That would be really nice if we could work that in. We want to go to a place where everybody knows our name and where the troubles are all the same. We want to be able to share our burdens and be together. And it's not good if we only know each other's names but are not willing to take the time to learn the names of folks who are coming in. People face a lot of rejection out in this world. You know that, and I know that. We need to find a safe place from the ugliness of life, and we might have found it here, but we also need to be open so that other folks can experience it too. This past week, if you're familiar with something called TED Talks, with experts speaking from all around the world, believe it or not, Pope Francis actually gave a TED Talk this past week, and he talked about the tenderness of humanity, and he said this: how wonderful would it be if the growth of scientific and technological innovation would come along with more equality and social inclusion? How wonderful would it be while we discover faraway planets to rediscover the needs of brothers and sisters orbiting around us? You know, hospitality used to be a big thing in the ancient world. Not so much today. But yet there is still a human need to be warmly welcomed and a safe place to stay. I mean, you heard the story of Abraham. He welcomed the three guests who happened to be from God, but he didn't even know it. And he did these things. He bowed to them to say, "I'm not a danger. Here, wash your feet. Here, eat some food. And then I'll stand away to show you that I'm not a danger." That's just what you did back then when somebody would come across your tent, is that you would welcome them. Because someday you might be traveling and you would need the same reciprocity. So important. And then you think about the story of Jesus and the road to Emmaus that we just heard. These two guys are walking, these two disciples are walking, they're on their way to Emmaus. And Jesus comes alongside of them, and for the miracle, they don't recognize him. And what do? But they welcome him into the conversation. Simple thing. They don't say, "You're not with us. You're different. Stay away from us." They welcome him into the conversation. And they have this wonderful conversation about Jesus. It gets near to the end of the day, and they're going to stay at this place, right? And Jesus acts as if he's going to go further, and they still don't recognize him. And they say, "You don't want to keep walking at night. Stay with us." So they show a greater welcome to the unseen Savior. And so then at dinner, what happens? You know, Jesus breaks bread and welcomes them not to a dinner table, but to his table. He extends the welcome to them. And immediately they recognize him and he's gone. The story just oozes hospitality anywhere you look. It wasn't just one act, but many acts. So imagine this. Jesus welcomes us as we welcome others. Jesus accepts who we are and asks us to do the same, because it is a joy, the joy of the Lord, that is founded in love, to extend to others, not just to our friends, without ever having to worry about compromising who we are and who we belong to. So the welcome that we extend to others is actually Jesus welcoming them, and our ability to offer hospitality to someone we don't know is the evidence of God dwelling within us. And the more we are able to do that, what we will find is more that Jesus shows up in our lives and fills us with even more joy. Amen.